Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, now down at the 12th Hour in the organization. Today is August 10, 2023, or it is the 24th day of April 2027. This is our second study for the day. We're going to continue on with our Zechariah 4, and talking about the two olive trees. We're on part 2, page 285, and it's entitled The Seven Golden Tubes. If the golden bowl is that which contains the inspired word, the inspired interpretation of the scriptures, or the writings of the spirit of prophecy, and that okay, let's begin with this again. For the seven golden tubes, for the golden bowl, is that contains the inspired interpretation of the scriptures and the writings of the spirit of the prophecy, and the lamps are the seven churches supplied with the oil from the bowl to the seven golden tubes. For the ministry is represented by the tubes, whose duty is for the feeding of the entire Seventh-day Adventist Church with the inspired word of the Yahweh only. This fact alone is governed, is proven by the spirit of the prophecy, as we read that the golden oil represents the Holy Spirit. With this oil, Yahweh's ministers are to be constantly supplied, that they in turn may impart it unto the purified church of the house of David, the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, in the 12th parabolic hour, and the harvest time of Earth's history, in the last parabolic hour. Okay, so as we move on, reading, it says, that's in page 188, where I just quoted from. This is note that the seven tubes representing the ministry, or symbols of the ministry, draw the oil from the golden bowl and direct from the olive tree. Scripture. For this divinely illustrated lesson is too plain to be misunderstood, or its meaning misconstrued. For the only safe way for the Yahweh's servants and his church to be free from the error and full of the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, without the guile in their mouths, Hebrews 12:18-24, or speak the same thing, as the never-erring guide, and that is the spirit of the prophecy. For the acceptance of the so-called truth without the inspiration is the devil's trap of the deception. And they who who advocates uh, and then who advocates the such fallacious teaching are the hardest and most impossible ones to rescue from the Satan's bottomless pit, for he makes them believe that the confession of their errors would disqualify them for the teachers and dishonor their high standing. He who denies this inspired interpretation of the scriptures is denying the office of the Holy Spirit and is sinning against them, committing the unpardonable sin. For the golden candlestick is the most remarkable symbol in the Bible pertaining unto the purified congregation temple of the Yahweh. For its arrangement with the complete number of the lamps, bowl, tubes, and pipes, all of the gold, with its two olive trees, emptying themselves of the golden oil in the golden bowl, reveals that the last section of the Yahweh's church is to be the most glorious church in all ages. For this continued communication by the Holy Spirit to this purified house of the David, the last feeding pasture at Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, for the Seventh-day Adventist, is represented by the olive branches emptying the golden oil out of themselves into the one bowl. And it's a complete set of the supply tubes from the bowl unto all of this lamp. It's to bring every part of the entire body into the perfect harmony as a church without guile. For the problem for this prophetic symbol unmistakably points forward unto a heavenly agency absorbing human weakness and imperfection unto the everlasting glory as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such sin, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:27. A church that keeps the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua, clad in the armor of Yahshua's righteousness. The church is to enter upon her final conflict, fair as the moon, fair as the sun, and troubled as an army with banners. She is to go forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. Prophets and Kings, page 725. Song of Solomon, 6:10. Under this candlestick is the promise. Behold, I will make thee as a new sharp threshing instrument having the teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as a chaff. Isaiah 41:15. For the one stone, the house of David, comes out the 12th hour, shall have complete vision of the heavenly glory. For behold, the stone that I have laid before the Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the gravings thereof. Said the Yahshua of the host. That's the Son talking here. And I will renew the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith Yahshua, the Son of the Host, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree, Zechariah 3:9-10. For the complete service of Yahweh in the church of the house of David, not down at the 12th hour, is granted to possess the earth and restore the land unto the saints, to whom it originally belonged. Thus they shall set every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and to whom originally belonged. Thus they shall set every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid for the mouth of the Yahshua, the Son of the Yahweh, of the host, hath spoken it, Micah 4:4. And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of this servant in the battle, and they shall fight because Yahshua is with them, and their riders on their horses shall be confounded. Zechariah 10:5. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith Yahshua of the host. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the people. For all that burden of themselves with it shall be cut into pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day shall the Yahshua defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is that is a feeble among them at that day shall be as a David, and the house of the David shall be as Yahweh, as the angel of Yahweh before them. Zechariah 12:3-8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Yahshua, two parts therein shall be cut off, and one and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as the silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. For they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say that the Yahshua is my redeemer, my king, my emancipator, my savior, that by his blood. Hebrews chapter 10, and it says in Zechariah chapter 13, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of Yahweh. Psalms 87:3. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of the Zion, for great is the Holy One of the internet in the midst of thee. Isaiah 12:6. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of the Zion, for lo, I come and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Yahshua of the host. And that's the Son talking, that we call a flip that part of the host out. What is inspired and what is not? That's the subtitle to our next part of this subject, part two of the two olive trees, Zechariah 4. Cunning men with the power of the great deceiver, with the good words and fair speeches, have sought for the overthrowing of the faith and the blood of the Yahshua that has been accepted and understood and confessed by the saints. Just as a matter of fact, this is what made them saints. Yahshua's sprinkling of his ever-flowing blood in the first department of the heavenly sanctuary, Hebrews 12:18-24, and by the blood of the sprinkling on a daily basis, and the word of Yahweh, by almost innumerable interpretations of the scriptures, and multiplicities of the sect, making it nearly impossible for one to find a way out through the confusion, and thus keeping him in the ignorance of the truth. Yahweh, knowing beforehand of these cunning devices, has prophetically illustrated the truth by this candlestick in its assemblage of the parts, symbolically showing that one that the truth of the Bible is revealed by the inspiration only. For the written words can be misconstrued, the symbols cannot, thus making it impossible for both learned and unlearned to immediately distinguish the difference between the truth and the error. For the question may arise with the some, how can I determine what is inspired and what is not? For the prophetic word of Yahweh is capable of the answering of the questions and clearing the confusion by the dividing of the one from the other, as the wheat is separated from the chaff. First, to the law and the testimony, they speak not according to his words, because there's no light in them. That is inspired understanding of the prophecy or of the scriptures. So it's in Isaiah 8:20. Second. Okay. Let's repeat a little bit here. It says, first to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They are uninspired. Isaiah 8:20. Second, the churches who were in the existence prior to 1844 fell at the proclamation of the second angel's message, Revelation 14:8, showing that Yahweh would no longer reveal himself through that channel. Therefore, every theory, an offshoot, or sect that has sprung from the denomination into existence at that time is false, with no light in them. This is also proven by the fact that nearly all the authors or founders of these theories and movements make no claim of the inspiration. For the prophecy of the Ezekiel chapter 4, explaining the shepherd's rod, volume 1, page 115-133, proves that the Luther, Knox, Wesley, Campbell, Miller, and E.G. White were divinely called. Is also proven by the verbal Matthew 20 that Luther, Knox, Wesley, and Campbell were not given light on the prophetic truth, but were inspired to call for the Reformation on a certain truth, which were revealed before their time and had been trodden underfoot. It is further proven by the same a parable that through the Miller and White, prophetic truths were revealed which had never before been taught. See pages 277, 227 and 8, where it is also shown by the Ezekiel prophecy that light and truth on the scriptures would continue for 390 years, that is from 1500 A.D. and 1890 A.D., and then it was to cease for 40 years. See the seven rod by one, page 114 to 133. Thus far, the 1844 movement proclaimed that light has ceased to be revealed to all other sects. It is shown by the Ezekiel's prophecy that light was to continue with the letter up until the year 1890, but this fact also is self-evident, for the Seventh-day Adventist denomination has had no additional light on the scriptures than the stated 40 years. Therefore, any theory or so-called truth that might have been advanced by some within this SDA denomination that had not been revealed prior under 1890 is also false. Though some things were written in the spirit of the prophecy, for they were not, but they were not to be understood until 1929. For the truth revealed prior unto 1844 and up to 1929 are found in the writings of the spirit of prophecy, and that which is not written there is of the no value, not until our minds have been cured from all these false theories can we comprehend the truth. In the other words, the latter sins must confess that the charge against them is true, wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. By the accepting of the truth, they would anoint their eyes with the eyesight, for it is the true witness speaking, and his word must be correct. Well, I want to back up and reread that, because Richie Hollis is just as wrong as he can be about identifying this true witness, this angel of the seventh candlestick, let us say, Revelations 3:14-17. Because Yahshua is speaking there in Revelation, and he is the one that is addressing the minister, the prophet, to the candlestick, not to the whole congregation. And so I'm going to reread this again. Not until our minds have been cleared from all these false theories can we comprehend the truth. In the other words, if the angel, the prophet, Brother Stephen Johnson, had led us here from 1970 to 2003, does not comprehend the present truth that he has been given and should be interpreting to the people, must confess that the charge against him is true, for he is indeed wretched. Was indeed wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and by the acceptance of the truth they would anoint their eyes with the eyesight, for it is a true witness speaking, and his word it must be correct. For the true witness is Yahshua himself speaking. And he's speaking to the angel of the seventh candlestick in Revelation 3:14. And 2002 starts the Passover. Yahshua is a true witness. Says so in Revelation 1:5 and Revelation 3:14. I read 3:14. Find your eyewitness, no, find your explanation in the bowl, and you will have no trouble in knowing of the truth, or of the avoiding of the ever-ready trap of the deception. Thus, the difficulty in knowing the difference between truth and error is eliminated. Okay, that's the end of Zechariah 4, about the two olive trees. So let's go to Shepherd Rod, Volume 1 now, page 114. And let's see what we can find there. It says that the prophecy of Ezekiel 4, that's the subtitle, what transpires in the 390 days? For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, for according unto the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of the Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Ezekiel 4:5-6. For the prophecy of the fourth chapter of Ezekiel finds its fulfillment in our day. This prophecy could not possibly refer unto Israel after the flood, though it deals with a period of the 430 years in about the same manner as the prophecy made unto Abraham. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Genesis 15:13. Okay, but Exodus 12:40 says, now the adjournment of the children of the Israel who dwelt in the Egypt were 430 years. So the prophecy unto Abraham was made in the two sections, first then 400 years, and then the 430 years. For the Ezekiel prophecy is made exactly the same way in the two sections, but not the same number of years in each section. Instead of 400 years, we have 390 years, and instead of 30 years, we have 40 years, making the same total of 130 years in each case. If this prophecy had a reference to the prophecy made to Abraham, there should have been the same number of years in each section. But since it is not the same, it must be another period of time. Again, the prophecy of Israel after the flesh is that they should sojourn and be afflicted 430 years. But this prophecy of the Ezekiel says in verse 13, and Yahshua said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat to defile bread among the Gentiles, whether I will drive them. Therefore, it is evident that this prophecy refers to another period of time and experience than that of the experience of the Israel in Egypt, for the prophecy made unto Abraham of the 430 years ended at the time that the children of Israel went out of Egypt, which is according to the Bible chronology, King James Version, 491 years B.C., but actually it was 1500 years B.C., according to the same chronology, the 430 year period of the children of Israel had ended about 896 years before Israel was even given the vision of his prophecy, and he put the prophecy in the future, for he uses future tense. Even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread. So it is altogether impossible for one to form a conclusion that these two prophecies deal with the same period and experience of Israel down in Egypt. For this period by the Ezekiel had no reference to Israel after the flesh in the Ezekiel time. For the Yahshua said, Ezekiel 4:5, for I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity according to the number of the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. In this verse, Yeshua said that the 390 days or years are for the iniquity of the house of Israel. But in the next verse, the 40-year period as reference to the Judah. And when thou hast accomplished him, he lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of the Judah 40 days. Therefore Israel and Judah are referred to, for the kingdom of the 12 tribes of Israel were divided into two divisions in their early years, namely Israel and Judah. But at the time Ezekiel had this vision, there was only one division, for the 10 tribes had been conquered and carried away in the 721 B.C., 126 years before this prophecy was made, according unto the same chronology. Being in the future, the prophecy then should have no reference unto Israel after the flood. This 430 years period has never yet been applied unto any time or people in the past, and therefore has never been explained. Just the same as many other prophecies that were never understood until they met their fulfillment. If the time of its fulfillment has come, then only shall we understand this prediction. For we begin with the fourth verse, and onward we shall later take the first three and last two verses. Israel after the flesh was the type of Israel by the promise, 144,000. As explained on the pages 64-113, for the experience of the children of Israel in Egypt was a photograph of the of our denomination, the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. That's their experience is being reproduced in every particular with this people. And if there are 430 years connected with Israel after the flesh, then the same period of the time must be connected with the true. For the 430-year period by the Abraham did not have to do only with the ancient Israel, but with the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as well. For the prophecy to Abraham of the 430 years began with the call to come out of Ur and ended at Mount Sinai, but this 430 years which ended at Mount Sinai was a type as explained on the pages 108 and 109. So, you had the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob involved in the 430 years down in Egypt. So you have the antithetical Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob involved then in these last 430 years, starting in 1500 A.D. by Martin Luther, with the Lutheran Church. For the typical 430 years prophesied unto Abraham began in the true our time, with the Martin Luther, as explained on the pages 108-111. Okay, therefore, both prophecies, the one to Abraham and the one to Ezekiel, refer to the same period in our time. For the one to Abraham stands as a type, but the other is a direct prophecy, and both run parallel in our time. We must suppose the 390-year period began about 1500 A.D., well, when Luther found the Bible, and ended in 1890 A.D., where the 40-year period began, which would end in 1930. However, we cannot point out the exact day or month or even the year, because number one, we do not know the exact day of the call of Luther. Number two, prophecy deals with the Jewish or Hebrews, the Hebrew year, therefore it is a matter of the months that we cannot determine. It may run until 1931 or even after. If the coincidences as explained on chart pages 112 and 113 were not divinely designed to point out this fact, a question may be asked. Why would Yahweh make a double prophecy for the same thing? Because the old prophecy, the type, only gives the details from the beginning of the third angel's message to the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9, for the prophecy by the Ezekiel gives the information in detail from the beginning of Luther's Reformation and to Ezekiel 9, marking of the 144,000, and unrolling of the show. Not all in regard to this matter is yet understood, nor will it be understood until the unrolling of the show, volume 6, page 17. It makes it clear that there is a 430-year period from the Reformation by the Luther to the purification of the Church, as we shall endeavor to prove by the Ezekiel prophecy, which we quote here. Lie down also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according unto the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according unto the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fishes, margin spelt, and put them into the one vessel, and make the bread thereof according unto the number of the days that thou shalt be lie upon thy side. 390 days shalt thou eat bread thereof, and thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day. From time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by the measure, the sixth part of an hin, from time to time shalt thou drink. Ezekiel 4:4-6, 9-11. For the Ezekiel was commanded to lie on his left side for 390 days, during which time he was to eat and drink. After the 390 days were ended, he must turn unto his right side and lie for 40 days. But during this time he must not eat, for the 390 days or 390 literal years, according unto the last part of Ezekiel 4:6, as we have made the application. For the 390 years began with the Luther and ended in the 1890. During this period of time, Ezekiel was told to eat and drink while he lay on his left side. What is he told to eat? 6 varieties of food, namely wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. And of course, spelt is of the wheat family. We are not to understand these 6 varieties to be material food for the sustaining of the physical life, but as the symbols of the spiritual food. Doctrines of the 6 varieties for the sustaining of the spiritual life. Had these not been symbols of the truth, the Yahshua would not have asked Ezekiel to get a specified number of the seal, and that he should put them into the one vessel and bake them into a certain cake and eat them at a specific time in a particular way with a fixed measure of water. These 6 doctrines may be represented by the 6 steps upward: reformation, an effort to bring the Church to her state of the purity. Okay, our next subtitle is Sweet Symbol of the Faith. Okay, as the first grain of doctrine. For the first portion of the spiritual food or truth that we were to receive is represented by the wheat, being the word faith is taught by the Luther. as his doctrine was, for the just shall live by the faith, his faith, in the blood of the Yahshua's covenant. That's Hebrews 10, 19, and 20. That part was left out, but it belongs in there. For the wheat, which symbolized the doctrine that the Luther gave us, must be perfect in itself to make a perfect symbol of that doctrine. Note the truth of the wheat. It has always been used by all the generations, and everybody used it, and it is hard to get along without. Just so, almost have the doctrine of the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. And that's the Hebrews 10, verse 19 and 20. Romans 3, 24 and 25. Hebrews 12, 18 to 24. Without the faith in the blood, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, is found in Revelation 11, 1. It is impossible to please Him. It's found in Hebrews 11, 1. It is impossible to please Him, so the Bible says. Not only the antipodal apostolic, but other religious apostolics, which is the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but other religions must have faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant as well, Hebrews 10, 19-20, as they must have wheat. Even the infidel and the atheist must exercise faith in whatever he may believe. We can see that inspiration is the right kind of a symbol to represent the doctrine of the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 13:20-21. Barley, symbol of the wheat. For the second portion of the food or fruit that we were to get is represented by the barley. For the John Knox is the next man who made the second step by the teaching of the doctrine represented by the barley that is the truth of the Holy Spirit. For the barley is not so commonly or widely used as the wheat. And in fact, few people would use it, and at that time very seldom, for many people do not know what barley is. So with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, while the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is believed by some, antipodal apostolics, it is not believed by the other Protestant churches of the Baptist, Methodist, Lutherans, Presbyterians, etc., Church of Christ. Some do not understand what the truth of the Spirit is, even as some do not know what barley is. So the symbol representing the second doctrine is perfect even as the first. But the Gideon's experience with the Midianites, dream of the barley cake overturning the tent, proves the same. Read the Judges 7:13-14. Beans, symbol of the grace. Beans are just as widely and commonly used by all of the people and all generations, the same as wheat. John Wesley, the third man, for the prophecy of Ezekiel 4 on the stage of the action, as a great reformer made the third step upward by the teaching, the doctrine of the grace that was represented by the being, for all believe in the grace, so much so that men no longer fear the Yahweh and have declared His law void. He is too gracious and too merciful, they said. And as we are under grace, Yahweh will do neither good nor evil. Thus, the antitypical apostolic Protestants protested of the Methodist Church. John Wesley, 1725, these days were perverted, have perverted its true meaning, even as they all love beans, and have perverted the proper name by calling them pork and beans. And not only that, but putting the pork and the beans when they prepare them for food. What more fitting symbol could have been chosen to represent the doctrine of the grace than the one Yahweh has selected? Lentils, type of the doctrine of the baptism by the immersion. This is our next one, lentils. Number four, are used for the representing of the fourth portion of the truth. For the Alexander Campbell is credited with making the fourth step upward by the teaching, the doctrine of the baptism by the immersion, symbolized by the lentils, for the variety lentils representing the fourth doctrine, baptism by the immersion, is not known or used even as much as barley. So with the truth of the immersion, baptism by the immersion in the old-fashioned way is not generally practiced, even as lentils are not generally used. Again, Yahweh has used the right time of the symbol for the representing of this portion of the truth. Millet is our number five symbol of the 2300 days. For the fifth portion of the truth is represented by the millet, and the fifth reformer was William Millet, for he taught the prophecy of the Daniel Age War Game that is the doctrine of the 2300 days. For the millet is scarcely known, and those who do know what it is say it is of a little worth, merely a wild rush with scarcely any farming value, and not desired by anybody. Nevertheless, it is a good cereal, just so with the doctrine taught by the miller. No one has any use for it, and the Seventh-day Adventists are practically the only people who teach it. Those who do not accept this doctrine say it is good for nothing. And charge Miller as being a false prophet. Though it is a wonderful prophecy and reveals a great truth, yet people will not accept it. It is good for nothing, with no spiritual value, and we have no need of it. It's the cry. Again, the question is that, could a better symbol than Miller be found for the representative of the doctrine of the 2300 days? Spelt, symbol of the Sabbath is in the connection with the sanctuary. That's our number six grain of doctrine. Put in that vessel of Ezekiel 4:9. For the last cereal mentioned in the Ezekiel prophecy is spelt. That represents the sixth truth or doctrine, that is, of the Sabbath truth and the light as given by the E.G. White in the connection with the heavenly sanctuary, or the definition of the spelt as in the margin according to the standard dictionary is as follows: a cereal intermediate between wheat and barley. It was the chief cereal of the ancient Egypt, being probably the rye of the time of the Moses, but cultivated now mainly in the Switzerland, southern Germany, and northern Spain. Spelt is an ancient cereal used in the ancient Egypt in the days of the Moses, and it was the rye in the days of the Joseph. So is the Sabbath an ancient truth which originated in the Garden of the Eden and was the last recorded act of the creation. For it was the truth in the days of the Moses, the first man in the Bible who instituted the Sabbath keeping. Stout is a little better known than Millet and has some farming value, but only in a certain portion of the globe. Even as the Sabbath is better known than the 2300 days, would any dare say these are not all the perfect symbols, or that it is the only certain man's interpretation and only an accident or just happened and yet fit no so perfectly? But thus far only one phase has been explained. All in the one vessel is our next subtitle. For the Yahshua said of the prophet Ezekiel, put them in the one vessel, Ezekiel 4:9, where it will now be considered as unto whether he really did put all these doctrines into the one vessel. Luther believed in the doctrine he taught, but the great enemy flooded the church with the deception, not with the argument of the truth, but suggesting to the people that they now have all the truth and that they surely were right. Thus, hardening their hearts against the more light, soon additional truth came, but the Satan had already flooded the church with his agents, and prejudice was roused against the new light. For the result was that the majority turned down the truth, a few saw the light, and as the case generally is, they were voted out by the church. And this necessity gave birth to a new movement or denomination. Such has been the experience with the church in each advancing truth up until the time, up the line into our own time. In like manner, the truth represented by the barley spell was turned down by those who had accepted the doctrine symbolized by the wheat of faith. For the Knox believed in all the truth he had and also all the truth Luther taught. Thus, the wheat and the barley were in one vessel and carried to the second step. We next have the truth symbolized by the beans, grace, and presented by the Wesley, John Wesley of England, Methodist, who believed also in the truths previously taught by the Lutheran Knox that were represented by the wheat and barley. For the third step was made, and the wheat, barley, and beans were in the one vessel. For the fourth truth was represented by the lentils, baptism by the immersion, and taught by the Alexander Campbell, the Baptist, who believed in the doctrines of Luther, Knox, and Wesley. Thus the wheat, barley, beans, and lentils were carried unto the fourth step and into one vessel. For the fifth truth, 2300 days, was represented by the millet, and this step upward of is made by the William Miller, who believed in all of the truths symbolized by the wheat, barley, beans, and lentils. For the fifth step was made, and the five varieties of the fruit of the truth were carried in the one vessel. We now come to the last variety of the seal, spelt Sabbath, in the connection with the judgment. Is it not a fact that the Seventh-day Adventist denomination believes in all these truths? The wheat, faith, barley, Holy Spirit, beans, grace, lentils, immersion, millet, 2300 days, spelt, Sabbath, with the sanctuary truth, which would be all the feast days then, in Leviticus 23:1-44, counting the new moon and the Passover and the Atonement and the Pentecost, those annual feasts thrown in there. For it will be noticed that the The sure said, put them into the one vessel. He did not say in the two or more, but in one. There are no other people besides Seventh-day Adventists who believe in the 2300 days cleansing of the sanctuary. I'd like to make a correction here. Gilead Center is the only one that had all six grains of doctrine in the one vessel fulfilled, adding the sanctuary truth with the seventh-day Sabbath, and making that the seventh grain of doctrine. In other words, it was the Matthew 13:31, represented by the mustard seed grain. So the mustard seed grain represents the sanctuary truth. The spell, a form of wheat, of the wheat family, represents the Sabbath, but the mustard seed, Matthew 13:31, represents the sanctuary truth of all the feast days added to the Sabbath. And so Elijah David then was given that truth of the mustard seed of Matthew 13:31. There are no other people besides Seventh-day Adventists who believe in the 2300 days cleansing of the sanctuary. And it is this denomination and vessel that, which teaches all the six doctrines as represented by the six varieties of the spheres. Thus, the prophecy meets its fulfillment in our day, and we are amazed at the difficulty to comprehend the great wisdom of the Yeshua, our Redeemer and Savior, the Son of Yahweh. Barley cake, for the Yeshua told Ezekiel that thou shalt eat it as the barley cakes, Ezekiel 4:12. Why the wheat, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt made as the barley cake? Why not as the wheat cake or cake of some of the other cereal? For the truth of the Holy Spirit is represented by the barley, as explained on the page 118. For this reason, Ezekiel is told to make it into the barley cake, meaning the truth came by the power of the Holy Spirit and not by the aid of men. I will lay bands upon thee. Quoting Ezekiel 4:8, we read, for I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side unto another, till thou hast ended the days of thy seed. For the prophet was to lie on his left side 390 days. During this time he was to eat the variety of the food. But why on the left side? Why not on the right? Because the symbol would not have been perfect had he lain on his right side while eating, for the stomach of man is shaped something like a crescent with a narrow neck to the right as an outlet. If man lies on his left side, the outlet is upward again. Gravity and consequently would be difficult to empty itself, which would cause the food to remain within it. Had it not been for the band Yeshua put around Ezekiel, he would have turned to his right side, thus spoiling the symbol. Meaning is that even though the great enemy had tried to force out every truth by the prejudice and insinuations and casting out of the church those who were teaching these new truths as it has been in each instant in the past, yet Yahweh saw to it that the every truth would remain until he has put them in the one vessel, and so it is. Thou shalt drink also water. That's the subtitle of our next topic. Thou shalt drink also water by the measure, for the sixth part of an hin, from time to time shalt thou drink, Ezekiel 4:11. Water, when taken in, gives life. Without it, existence would be impossible. For Yahshua, speaking unto the woman at the well, said, but the water that I shall give you shall be in him a well of water springing up into the everlasting life. John 4:14. But Yahshua referred unto the water as a symbol of the everlasting life. For the meaning of the symbol of the drinking the water with the barley cakes is that the souls were to be saved by each new truth, the spirit of the life. Meat, by the way, it says, well, actually, we're at the end of our study. This brings into our study, this hour, contact us by the, at the 11th hour call. We're going to close this now service with a song.
Fill my cup, y'all. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, y'all, I lift it up, y'all, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Fill it, fill it, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasure these things afford, but none can miss the wondrous treasure that I find in Yahshua my King. Fill my cup, y'all, I lift it up, y'all, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Oh, my brother, if the thing this world gives you is hunger that won't pass away, my blessed King will come and save you. Give me to him and Emily he prays. Fill my cup, y'all, I lift it up, y'all, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread in heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole.